Shooters Connection offers products for competition shooters by competition shooters. With over 80 years of combined competition shooting experience, Shooters Connection is staffed by master and grandmaster shooters who live the shooting sports every day. We offer same-day shipping. Shooters Connection also sponsors over 100 of your matches every single year. So when it comes to finding everything you need to compete as a beginner or a seasoned grandmaster, Shooters Connection is the only name you need to know. Online at shootersconnectionstore.com.
Welcome back to the Hit Factor. We're live from Ada, Oklahoma.
Live.
With Jeff Cawthorn. Well, we're live as we're recording it, and myself, Jeremy Reed from Canyon, Texas. Man, Texas is just so good. Like, it's just awesome. Like, it's so much better than Oklahoma. I there's no real conversation needs to happen out there. I just want to kind of just put that out there. Just how cool Texas is.
It was better this week because you didn't get softball size hail.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Texas was probably awesome this week.
Jeff got lit up with some massive, massive hailstones. Good thing is his Ford doesn't look any worse.
It's about the same.
It's still a Ford, and it doesn't matter what you do to it, whether you polish it or you beat it up, it's still just a Ford. ain't much difference going on there. Okay, so I need to take a moment and I need to defend myself a little bit. Jeff knows what happened, but he's forgotten about it at this point. But I didn't discuss it in our Western State singles deck recap. But Jeff and I were on our way to the match, and I think Jeff thinks that I'm a big fatty, because like anytime I see Dunkin' Donuts and we're at a match, I gotta stop at Dunkin' Donuts. But really, I literally only ever have it at matches, because I believe it's a sweet pepper bacon breakfast sandwich. I think that's something that maybe is it a black pepper bacon or something?
It's like a maple pepper or something like that.
It's delicious, and you got to get a caramel macchiato because you got to have your princess coffee. And it's ridiculous how expensive it is. But so anyway, so we're in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Not great. I don't know how Tim Herron lives there, but hey, he does. He likes it. That's good for him. But we're there. We stop at a Dunkin'. We get this. So I order my caramel macchiato. I order my bacon croissant. And so you're sitting there waiting, right? Like you just kind of, you make your order, you go to the deal where they give the stuff out, because we're not going to eat there. So we're just standing there waiting. And they come out and they put the coffee on the counter and say medium caramel macchiato or whatever it was. So I go grab it. I grab it. The lady that's preparing it, like she takes a step back, she walks away, and I just take a sip of it. Immediately, it's like well, actually, before I even took a sip of it, I pick it up. It's like, this is, I feel like I would have felt some heat. Like it's supposed to be hot, and it wasn't hot in any sort of way. So I take a sip of it, and it's just room temperature. Like it's really not even cold. It's not hot, mm-hmm. and it's not even full. So I go back to the waitress, and they're like, "Ma'am, I thought I was very kind. I thought I was being very approachable, very nice, and said, "Hey, it's not hot. Like, wasn't this supposed to be hot?" And she doesn't say anything then, but she goes back and she talks to another lady and says, "Hey, we need to remake this." And the other lady, I can just kind of overhear their conversation. Tells them, "We need to make it. Well, why do you have to remake it?" It's like, "Well, I think he basically just sat there and drank half of it and then gave it back to us cold. And it's like, he wants a refill or something." So I just wanted it on the record that I did not steal their coffee from them. I did not drink half of it and then give it back to cold and get another. It's like, I just feel need to defend my honor. I'm sure she's a Hit Factor podcast listener, and the waitress from Dunkin'. She definitely will listen to this and hear it. But I was not trying to steal it. I think maybe you guys gave me maybe one of y'all's coffees that had y'all had, made earlier, and you were sipping on it throughout the day, and then it just kind of got misplaced.
Yeah, I think, I mean, that's hilarious. That's been eating at you for the last couple of weeks. But also, I think they probably gave you like one of their coffees. Like that was probably somebody behind the counter that was like the one of the baristas, if you want to call them that, at Dunkin's.
Yeah, definitely a barista.
They were, yeah, it was probably one of their drinks. They had half downed and then got switched around and gave it to you. And they probably got a freshie, so...
That's probably, that'd be my guess is what happened, but yeah. I didn't steal the coffee, and I just wanted that out there in the greater universe, etherverse, right. Whatever, you know?
Yeah. No, we talked about it after that experience. It is, I don't know if it's like this way for everybody, but for me and apparently Jeremy, it is very frustrating when you're seeing yourself be wrongfully accused of something. And you can't defend yourself, right? Like someone's over there, like accusing you and talking about you. And you don't get the opportunity to be like, wait, no, this is what happened.
I feel like somebody's going to come in at this point and say, you guys sound like two very privileged white dudes because you're complaining about being wronged, of being accused of drinking coffee.
Yeah, yeah.
Other people have experienced worse accusations than that, but I still wanted it cleared up. So I feel better now. I think I can move on. I can move on with my life now.
I mean, this is a good argument for just drinking black coffee at all temperatures. You can drink it, you know, midday, just like a leftover cup on the counter. You can drink that. You could drink it half. It's been in the pot for a couple hours, kind of burnt. You could drink that. You could drink it poured over ice. So if you just order a black coffee, it's pretty much always going to be drinkable.
I mean, you could. I'm not going to lie. I mean, my manliness probably ends there. Just like straight black coffee is not really my jam.
Wow.
So I need my princess coffee. Look, I'm driving hours and hours and hours. I need my princess coffee because it's delicious and it's much better that way.
Incredible.
So we got questions. We are answering some questions tonight. It's going to be a little bit shorter podcast, but we've got some questions to answer. We need to get some content out there. Potato is – he needs to walk his dogs on Friday mornings, and it's tough for him to do that whenever there's no podcast. So we're here for the people.
It's the only reason this is getting done.
It's Potato and his two German Shepherds.
Yeah. All right. Let's see here. What kind of questions we got? It's a question. Yeah, we're here like – freaking 8 minutes in and haven't even started talking about anything yet. Like, yeah, it's going to be short. So, you know, with the intro and the outro and the advertisements, y'all are going to get like 5 minutes of legitimate.
I felt like that was very important. I needed to get podcast. It off our chest.
Did I pin this question?
I have no idea what question you're looking at.
Didn't you say there was a question?
Eli I thought it was Eli tonight that asked the question. I can go and look.
Tonight?
Well, I mean, he asked it a little bit a while ago. He says, is it beneficial to try and predict what your time or hit factor will be on each stage before you shoot it, or just go shoot it as fast as accurate you can and let it be what it is? Listening to the last episode, the part where y'all talked about Mills saying what his stage time will be got me thinking about that. So the last episode that we recorded, we talked about Nils on his very last stage of Western States single stack. He basically predicted his time. And so Eli's wondering, is that something that you take into consideration? Do you consider the hit factor? Do you try to guess what your hit factor will be on a stage before you shoot it or anything like that? So Jeff, are you out there guessing your hit factors or times?
That's a good question. No, I don't generally. Like, some people will ask me, what are you going to run this in? And I'll guess, but I really don't know. Like, I don't know that close. So my answer to this would be no. I don't really think it's beneficial to like guess or like try to shoot it in a specific time or anything like that. However, I think your ability to do that is very beneficial, because what that means is that you're very familiar with yourself and your shooting. You know how much time it takes you to cover ground. You know how much time it takes you to engage difficult targets, and that type of thing. So though I don't think it's beneficial to do, I do think it's beneficial to be able to do. Yeah, that's my answer. Okay.
Yeah. As far as predicting times, like I'm normally not doing that, but it's more of the general ideas. Like, is this a high hit factor stage? Is this a low hit factor stage? Right. So if you walk up to a stage, it's really compact. There's a ton of targets in that are packed in really close, and they're not super partialed up or super far or anything like that. You're like, okay, this is a high hit factor stage. That may help determine some decisions that you make on that stage, especially if there are movers, if there's any sort of disappearing target or anything like that. Then having kind of a general idea, general sense of what are my points per time going to be worth on this stage, it can somewhat help you. I think that's when you start getting the M and GM class, that's a beneficial skill to at least have in consideration. It's not necessarily going to make a huge difference, but maybe you're going to make some different decisions that, hey, like this is going to be a low hit factor stage. Points really are more valuable than time. So like, I really want to make sure that I'm hitting the center of the target, because a delta shooting minor is down 4 points. And if it's a 4 hit factor stage, well then a delta is worth a second, right? Like if it's a 4 hit factor stage, you're shooting minor and you shoot a delta and you don't make it up, you could have any time less than a second to make up that delta results in a better score on that stage, if you know it. So that sort of stuff is beneficial in consideration. You start looking at stages that have really long shots, and you start considering, okay, it's a 5 hit factor stage and there's some 40 yard shooting. Okay. You throw a miss on that 40 yard target, 'cause you don't want to reload, or you don't want to take a makeup shot or something like that. Well, if it's a five hit factor or less, you're talking 1.5 seconds is what a miss is worth on that. So it starts to really change your outlook a little bit when you start considering trying to rush through a stage. If it's a super low hit factor, it's like, man, those points down really hurt a lot more than they do on a higher hit factor stage. I also say that it's a little bit tough doing that. Like if you know no data going in, like nobody shot it, no way that you're shooting against, it's kind of a similar skill set. Nobody shot it before you, and you're just looking at a stage blind. That can be a little bit harder, but there's certainly some value. If you're at a nationals, you're at an area match, other people have shot it that are good, and the high hit factors is kind of known what it's going to be. Maybe a Jacob Hetherington or somebody like that's going to come through, and you know, okay, they're going to bump it a bit probably, but otherwise we know, okay, this is an 8 hit factor for most people. So that's how I would answer that, is that it can be beneficial, but it's not something that I am it's a factor in stage planning. Mm-hmm. Not so much once the timer goes off.
Yeah. And I think, yeah, like I said, it's very beneficial to know what things take you certain amounts of time, or how much time it takes you to do certain things. Is it going to be, like Jeremy said, is it going to be beneficial for me to take an extra shot here or take my time on the first two shots? So knowing what you can do is important. I don't really think, like your time's going to be what it's going to be. If you're taking the appropriate amount of time per skill, per thing, I don't really think you should be overly concerned with your end time, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, when the buzzer goes off, yeah, you should be just trying to take the appropriate amount of time for
now,
each shot.
Now, when it would be super beneficial to be like, everybody has ran this in 20 seconds and I'm going to run it in 15, is if you just really want to embarrass everybody and you want to make them want to go home and not come back. Like, if that's the goal, super beneficial.
See, here's where you start getting the dark side of Jeff. And like, like Jeff's like, he complains that he's not approachable, but he just basically said like his goal in competing is try to get people to quit. Like that's what he wants. He wants out of the sport. He wants to make people quit and go home and cry. That's what Jeff's trying to accomplish. So it's no surprise, like, his approachability.
I feel like we've made it very clear, or I've made it very clear. Like, I'm not here
to make friends.
I'm not here for the growth of the sport or, you know, Second Amendment rights, anything like that. I mean, I'm here to crush souls. I'm here to crush souls, man. That's why I'm here.
Okay. All right. That's good. All right, what other questions we got, Jeff? I know we got some more questions in there.
Yeah, there was another one here. Let's see. Let's check this out. All right, this one. I don't think we've answered this one. Maybe Jeff can relate to this one. But I have a last name that starts with B-A. I frequently end up being first on the first stage of the day. Not as much at locals. But so far, 100% in majors I've shot. I really struggle with energy and usually tank the first stage. In your experience, if you're the one starting the day off, what do you do to amp yourself up for that first stage? I feel like we answered that one. Did we answer that one?
You're asking the wrong person to try to remember something. But, you know, the good thing, if you have to go first on the first stage of the match, like, I think that's kind of okay. Like, have a good stage. Try to get a good, if you at all possible, get a good stage plan the day before or the morning of. Get there early. Have your stage plan in before the walkthrough is done. Once you got that done, hey, you're going to go first on the first stage. And then you can eat some snacks. You can eat breakfast. You're going to be last on the next stage. So it's really more like, yeah, you got to go first at once. But you don't have time you don't have time to get, like, super antsy. It's almost like I would almost rather go first on the first stage than last on the first stage. So you have just more time to sit around and get antsy and like let's get this thing going.
Have you ever been first, Jeremy?
No. I mean, probably not at a major, because even if we go first name, Jeremy J is never going to be, it's never going to be first, right? So, I don't think I've ever, and except maybe going way back whenever it was like, they would do random. I don't know of anybody that does that anymore, but used to, like, at some point, like, you would just do random order. And so, you know, maybe I went first in the past, but no, yeah. But I feel like I would kind of be okay with going first on the first stage.
I mean, regardless, that was a great answer about eating snacks and chilling and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like you get to shoot and then you get to take a break and eat snacks, eat breakfast, get a little coffee in, a little princess coffee, a little nom noms. Yeah. It'd be great.
Man, that's incredible. I don't feel like I struggle getting amped up. I'm usually really nervous and I usually am trying to like avoid more amping on the first stage. I don't know. I haven't really found a great strategy. Like, you just roll with it. You just got to roll with it. I mean, there's someone else is going to have better advice, but I really haven't, like, that's not something I've put a lot of mental focus into. Like, man, I know I'm going to be first. How can I be the best prepared? Because it's never really bit me in the ass, other than at Western States when I put a dummy round in my gun. But
it wouldn't have mattered if you were first or if you were last.
But it is, like, normally I shoot the first stage pretty well. So it's not something I've been like, oh, this is a part of my game I need to work on. So yeah, I've just always focused elsewhere because I usually show up and that cold run is usually pretty dang good, all things considered. So I don't have great advice on that other than, I don't know, be confident.
I feel like this is where the Lanny Basham crowd is sitting there saying, like, this is where you just start telling yourself, my name starts with a BA because I'm a badass. And there's a reason for that. because I'm glad that it's BA because I'm glad that I go first because that's whenever I rock. And the Lanny Basham crowd's going to say, like, keep saying that over and over and you'll start believing it. And I think that's maybe there's some truth to that. And that, like, you somewhat just, if your last name starts with BA, you got to accept it. You're going to be first. And so you just start telling yourself, I want to be first because then I get to set the tone for everybody for the whole match.
There we go, Jeremy.
I'm BA. That's right.
Yeah. You'd be like, I bet these other fuckers can't shoot first. Watch this.
That's right. That's right. They wish they had the name BA because they wish they could go first and they wish they could shoot like me.
Oh, sucks they got to follow this.
That's right.
That's right. That's what's going through Jeremy's head every match we shoot together.
Yep, pretty much. Pretty much.
Anyway, hope that was super helpful.
I think it was. It was helpful for me.
What else we got in here? Oh, that's really old. That's a really old one.
Oh, no.
Something about Area 3. We'll skip that one. It was from Fitz. So,
oh well, if it's we could have just that's all you had to say. It was from Fitz.
Here's one from Caton.
Kate,
Caton? Yeah. Don't you dare say it right, Jeremy.
I won't. I'll never do that again.
At what point does a gun become so challenging to shoot it is unproductive? If major ammo in single stack requires reassessment of your grip, learn shooting minor guns. Why not shoot 180 power factor ball ammo, ignoring durability? If it's a personal decision, how do you assess your criteria?
So, I mean, I don't know if I'm going to answer his question exactly, but the question is, make practice harder than matches so that matches feel easier, right? Whether that's like, whether that's shooting higher power factor ammo, shooting a heavier trigger, you name it, right? Like putting your hands, like soaking your hands in water or something like that, so it's super slippery or whatever it is. Like, what is the, at what point does it become not helpful to do that? I don't necessarily have like a great question. I've messed around a little bit just over my career. Like, okay, we're going to shoot some hot ammo for a while. And then, you come back and you shoot lighter ammo and it feels nice. And it feels good. And you kind of feel like you can conquer the world. So, I mean, there's some of that. And then some of that is that a placebo effect? I don't know. I don't have a great answer for him. I do think like there's some benefit maybe in like, if you're running a 2 pound, 2.5 pound trigger all the time and running a heavier trigger for a while, just to see like, how are your fundamentals? Or maybe you're running like a 1 pound, 1.5 pound trigger or something like that. maybe there's some benefit to that. I think Ben seems to see quite a lot of benefit in shooting a lot of different platforms. We're not seeing him compete, but he seems to benefit from that. Like, his fundamentals transfer no matter what gun he's shooting, seemingly. He's able to adjust for whatever he's shooting, whether it's a stock Glock or a CZ that has a nice trigger in it.
Yeah, yeah. True. I don't do any of that shit. I make the gun as comfortable and to shoot exactly the way I want it to shoot all the time. I don't ever try to make shooting more difficult. I load enough to make power factor, and yeah, the guns are the way that I like them all the time. I don't mess with any of that, so I have no answer.
Basically, what Jeff does is he just tries to like make power factor with the random powder that he's shooting that week, because mm-hmm. he doesn't know what he's going to shoot the next week or the week after that, and he wants to use the least amount of powder absolutely possible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So trying to mess with a gun or make it harder or make a trigger heavier, like, he's just not going to spend the time to do that.
Nope. Not going to do it. I bought powder, though.
You did?
Yeah, you're not going to be proud of me, but I bought it.
What did you buy?
Tight group.
I mean, it's at least you didn't buy like CFE or something, like some like open powder that's super slow.
Yeah.
We need to get you some jacketed bullets.
There was so much stuff out of stock. I just couldn't get what I wanted. And I needed to get something because I'm going to need it for IPSC.
Hey, at least, I mean, IPSC is in Arizona. It's going to be a really arid climate, so the smoke is way less of an issue than if it's in Florida or Alabama or something like that. Yeah. So that's
good. I mean, Tight Group, it doesn't really smoke with blue bullets. Not much. Like, way less than if you're shooting a high-tech bullet.
Yeah.
It works. It's not my favorite. I feel like it's sooty. It dirties up the guns more than other powders, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, it's dirty. That's why it smokes. Because it's dirty.
Yeah. But it's what was available, so I got it. With some more primers.
What primers did you get?
I don't remember. I don't know. I've got quite a few different ones now.
Was it like a name brand? Or was it like your VCO or something like that?
No, it was name brand, I think. It's either Winchester, CCI, or I do remember looking at some Aguila.
Okay.
But I don't remember what I ordered.
So this should be fine. The Aguilas, maybe.
I've never used those. Have you used them?
I have not personally, but I had a friend that used a bunch in the past. But this is going back a long time, so it wouldn't be any sort of info that would be good off of them.
I always liked their 22 ammo.
Yeah, it works usually.
Yeah. In my comped 22.
So, you know, good thing. Speaking of IPSC Nationals, that's coming up here in about a month. We're a month out. We have a bus and house. So we've got Jeff, myself, Brett, Potato, J. Beal, Mr. Lego Man, and Jedediah. I don't remember Jedediah's last name, but his first name is Jedediah, so he's automatically the coolest guy in the house. And we have a pool, so I'm really hoping that Arizona's Arizona by the time we get to April.
It was damn near Arizona in February.
Almost. It was still a little chilly, but it was almost Arizona then. So, but a cool house. So that's going to be good. We're recording. Okay, we're back. Sorry. Jeff has a problem with, I don't know if he had a raccoon that cut him off or whatever.
Yeah.
But he did. Since we stopped, this podcast is sponsored by Shooters Connection. Shooters Connection is wonderful. They sponsor tons of matches. They have all the stuff you need to get shooting. I know most people are just getting started shooting for the year, starting to get warm. We just had the time change. And, I mean, right now in Texas, at least in the Panhandle this week, the weather's awesome this week. I feel like we're in like our 2 weeks of just fantastic weather. So perfect time to get all your supplies from Shooters Connection, your pasters, your targets. Maybe you need a new timer, new shooting bag, that sort of stuff. That's just kind of maintenance stuff to get for the year. Great time to do it. Shooters Connection is the place to do it. And hit the link in our video. Hit the link in our description. And that'll help show them that we're help driving some traffic to them. And they can help. They'll continue to support the podcast. So, Jeff, are you shooting at all? Have you shot? I know you just finished your roof on your coon house. So is that... Does that kind of wrap some stuff up? Are you able to start training a little bit on weekends or no?
That wraps up the bulk of it, yes. So that was like the last big thing that I needed to get done. So I still got to go and do a bunch of cleanup and small stuff, you know, just to kind of polishing edge, like silicone and outlet covers, just all the little stuff to kind of bring it all together. But for the most part, I am pretty much done with that project. There will be more, but like I wanted to redo the deck and maybe paint a little bit, a trim on the exterior, stuff like that. But all the big stuff, the big time-consuming stuff is all done. So I have not shot at all, but I probably will. I need to load some bullets. I did tumble some brass, so I have some brass to load.
That's good. That's positive.
Yeah, so I got some nice clean brass. I'll probably shoot. Maybe not this week. Maybe next week. It'll probably be a midweek shoot. Like, I probably still won't shoot on the weekend.
Yeah.
I'll probably still want to do other productive things on the weekend, but maybe not. I might go shoot a Friday morning or something. Probably Wednesday, now that we got the time change. I mean, I really couldn't shoot after work until like what, last week?
Week ago.
So I probably won't get out this week because I don't have any bullets loaded, but I might get out next week. Get some rounds down range. That would be good. And this week is 4 weeks till IPSC, right?
Yep. Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah. Actually, yeah, a little less than 4 weeks away at this point.
Yeah, so I want to get out and get my load chronoed in and get all that done. So I'll need to do that. But
that'd be good.
And you? Are you shooting currently?
I mean, yes. Couple of times a week is kind of how I've been since about Western States. I've been about a couple of times a week.
What are you doing?
Look, so
I love it when you start with look. That's my favorite.
Look, we're 34 minutes into this podcast, so we've already got a time to cut it off. It's just like, I mean, like, it's great that Jeff can go and just basically say, yeah, I'm going to shoot a couple times before IPSC Nationals. And he kind of know, like, he's going to be able to go and shoot pretty well. And he may do something dumb, but it's almost more mental at that point. Just like putting dummy bullets in a magazine. I struggle without shooting lots of rounds. I struggle just to do anything correctly. Like everything that I just do naturally, I do it wrong. Like, at least that's how it feels at this point. It doesn't matter how hard I try. It just feels like it's a bit of a mental beatdown every time I go shoot, just in trying to stay focused to try to shoot well for like a whole practice session. I can just do that, like to grip the gun hard, right? Like just to grip firmly. To pay attention to sights and aim, like to not shoot until you're aiming in the middle of a target, right? Like pulling the trigger straight back, like not disturbing the sights as you're pulling the trigger, all that sort of stuff. Just seems like it just takes so much mental effort, and that's just where I'm at right now. Like, I just feel like I can't take the training wheels off and just let it rip and shoot, because anytime I try to do that, it just gets ugly. From like, I just don't grip hard, or I don't aim hard enough, or whatever. So I think I know how to fix it. It's shoot a lot of rounds. just go shoot a ton of rounds, I think, is how I fix it. And it's just that's not as in the cards for me right now as it used to be. So I'm trying to basically just wreck my forearms every day. Like, that's just my goal. I'm just trying to wreck mostly like wrist curls and stuff like that. Just trying to get my forearm strength and conditioning higher up, to where if I don't grip hard, at least my gripping strength at not gripping hard is higher, is what I'm hoping.
Okay. Interesting.
So, you know, from a conditioning standpoint, I'm in the worst shape I've been in probably 3 years. I've just been working in the mornings instead of working out. And so that's kind of not great. It's getting warmer, so I'm going to start probably adding in at least some running to get some cardio back up into shape. So I'll try to get that back into shape. I really need to, all of my dry fire has been really slow and deliberate up to this point. I really need to add some par times into my dry fire to just push the speed and dry fire a little bit, just get a little bit more comfortable. Like, I shot today. It was super nice outside. I shot for a little while, and I was just actually really uncomfortable on my draw, trying to go fast, like drawing to a pretty close target. I was just not comfortable getting a good grip quickly. So that was just like, okay, like just simply need some, I need to practice some more draws and maybe some part times on some draws.
I got a question on that. So you're like doing like slow, deliberate stuff. So when you're like going faster, is it just like there's slow practice and then there's fast practice? Or is it like you have a range of like 20, 30, 50, 60, 80%?
It's not two different speeds. It's not just super slow, perfect, and just as fast as I can go. There's definitely kind of a in between on that. And I honestly, in dry fire, I have not got to the go as fast as you can so far this year. I've been trying to ingrain just those perfect reps. And part of it's trying to get to a scoop draw, I've been trying to transition to a scoop draw that is a struggle for me. Like, the scoop draw, for whatever reason, maybe the position of the gun and the holster or something like that could be more advantageous for a scoop draw. I don't know.
Well, I could see with the way that you hold the gun, why that would be more difficult, since you hold the gun with your forearms lined up with the gun.
Mm-hmm.
So scooping would be more difficult.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm kind of at a point where I'm at the breaking point with the scoop draw, because I started messing with it quite a bit at the end of last part of last season, but I never really used it in matches. Mm-hmm. I would use it all through practice, but then I would go back to my normal draw for matches. And so I'm at a point this year, it's like, okay, either I'm going to implement it in matches, or I need to just say forget about the scoop draw, and we'll just do my traditional draw, which isn't the fastest in the world, but not that big a deal.
Yeah, it seems plenty fast.
It's not a. It's
I
not
mean,
a
as long as it's aggressive.
Thing. Yeah. I mean, like, and you're not, you don't, even in a match, even in like a 15 stage match, how many times are you sitting there drawing to a 10 yard open target or a 5 yard open target with zero movement? Mm-hmm. Typically, you're only doing that one or two times. So,
yeah,
having a super, super fast draw from its sides is not really that advantageous from a match standpoint as a whole.
So, why are you doing it?
Well, because I mean, it is better. I mean, if I can, my draw times is not fast. So if I can be better at it, then it's like, okay, let's explore this and see if we can be better. Hmm. But it seems to maybe not be worth the squeeze at this point. So I've got a little bit more time than I'm gonna mess with it probably. And then if I just don't feel confident in it, then I probably won't continue forward with it too much.
Interesting.
So that's where we're at. If you guys have questions, comments, anything like that, there's not a whole lot going on with USPSA right now as far as matches and that sort of stuff. That's why we're not recording every week. Obviously, Jeff's not really training hard at this point. I'm not training as hard as I would like. I would love to shoot a whole lot more, but just not a whole lot going on. So that's why we haven't recorded a whole lot. But if you guys have any questions, we would love to answer them or try to answer them. If you have any guests that you want us to have on that you want to hear from, let us know, and I'll have Jeff try to track them down because of his approachability. And
I mean, I will if I want to.
Yeah, totally. Totally. But we do appreciate you guys listening, and we're sorry about the technical difficulty earlier. Hopefully Jeff gets that stitched together reasonably well.
If not, you guys get a 12-minute podcast.
And that's all you got. That's all you got. You don't get to hear me defend my honor from the Dunkin' Donuts barista. Don't let them take advantage of you. Watch your six at Dunkin's and get the sweet maple bacon breakfast sandwich because it's delicious. And
fair enough.
Keep it in the green, and we'll talk to you guys later. Peace.